Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of life designer style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's.
Good evening, good evening, good day, wherever you are joining us here at the Transformation Cafe. Hey, thanks for joining us tonight. We have some of our regulars in, and I'm sure we've got some wild things to be talking about. Got some big changes going on the planet, so we're looking forward to having everybody's input on what they're thinking that's going on. I'm Robin Masevich, one of the regular diners here at the Transformation Cafe, and we have Mr. Jamie. Mr. Jamie, how are you tonight?
Mr. Jamie's doing pretty good. This is Mr. Jamie calling from the heart of the Great Pacific Northwest, Seattle, Washington.
Woo-hoo! And how is it in Washington?
It's had a nice day today. Can't complain.
Good. That's awesome. That's awesome. And one of our other regular diners, Miss Gloria, how are you tonight?
Well, hello, Robin. Hi, Jamie.
Hey, hey.
I'm so glad to be here tonight.
And how are you doing?
I am doing phenomenally. They started doing the airplane ones at nighttime again. It is the season, so I apologize if I don't hear you immediately.
So they're like saying we can pretend that you're on a jet or something. You know, getting ready to get on that international flight and going all over the world. That's exciting.
Yes, we could go there.
Okay, let's play that game for a second. If you could go anywhere in the world and just be jumping on a plane, where would you go?
Mongolia.
Mongolia?
Yes.
Why would you go to Mongolia?
Well, you asked. That's where I would go. I always wanted to go. I wanted to go to Mongolia, and I wanted to go to Tibet, and I wanted to go to Russia.
Now, how did I know Tibet was your second choice? That's interesting. My intuitive abilities are showing. That was interesting. Because I thought, oh, I bet you, why not go to Tibet? And then you said Tibet. So that was interesting.
Tibet is near Mongolia. Tibet is near Mongolia. And it's all in the same vicinity. So, you know, do some eco travel. That would be great.
There you go. And do you have to go to Mongolia to get to Tibet? Or can you go straight into Tibet?
Well, I think that you have to have passes and everything through China.
Oh, okay.
I don't think you can just go to Tibet anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to have special permits and travel visas and things. And so it's not so much on my list. I would love to interact with the Tibetan people, but being occupied by China, it changes the cultural temperament.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, quite a bit.
And so it wouldn't really be a visit with the Tibetan people, even though it would be.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, how about you, Jamie? If you could just jump on a plane, where would you go?
Oh, can it take plus one, or is it just by myself?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no real, no hard rules here. It's just you have an opportunity to jump on a plane. Where is it going?
I'd probably go to London.
Oh, okay. That's exciting.
Mm. I think so.
You've always wanted to go and check out Big Ben. Is that the idea?
Oh, just to go to London. I've heard so much about it.
Oh, tally-ho, and have your chips and all that good stuff. Be marvelous. I did that one time, you know, being a florist, I had to call overseas to do an order, and I started listening to the guy who was taking the order, and within a couple, it was like maybe a minute, I was noticing the way he was saying certain things, and so I just jumped right in on that accent. He thought I was over there and just doing a local phone call, which I thought was kind of fun.
Oh.
And then I broke it in my Californian, you know, accent, because when you live in California, you don't think you have an accent, unless you're, of course, a Valley Girl. And, you know, I don't know if people really do the Valley Girl thing anymore. But anyway, so, and he was just like, oh, my gosh.
You live out there, right?
I do, you know, and I'm not necessarily a Valley Girl, but I do visit, so that's okay.
You're a semi-valley girl.
I'm a semi-valley girl. Yeah, exactly. I know graduations just pretty much are in full swing all over the, you know, the world, really. I mean, you know, I've heard like in Europe, they actually graduate earlier, I think. I think it's like in late April, early May, they graduate. They don't wait till like June because their schedules and stuff are different over there, I guess. But we had a local university here in Southern California that I was doing a table sale for, and I had a lady come up from Georgia, and she said, "Oh, you Californians, you just do these things that are just so different. You know, we only say maybe one or two people who got these. There's like lays on, you know, that you do the lay thing." And I go, "Yeah, you know." And I mean, it's kind of like a way of seeing how much somebody's loved, how much they get literally draped with all these different lays. I mean, there were a few kids that just, I mean, they had 20 different things on. It was amazing. You know, they're walking down the aisle, and of course they got their hat decorated, and they're trying to keep upright with all this stuff, all this weight on themselves. You know, it's just amazing. And then there was a Polynesian influence of that, because part of the university, they've got Samoan studies that go on there too. So some of these lays were made out of money and stuff like that, and they looked so elaborate. It was amazing. You know, this origami stuff that they have going on, you know, they fold all the bills and layer them on top of each other with beads and all this different kinds of stuff, and it's quite the art to be doing all these different kinds of lays. Yeah, it was really, and I, you know, I guess you can go on YouTube, and it shows you how to make all these different kinds of lays, so there you go. You know, those rainy nights in Seattle when you don't know what to do, you could be creating some lays. So there you go. If it's not making it in the tattoo market, you could start doing some keepsake lays there, Mr. Jamie. Just to give you an idea of something else you could be working on. So there you go. There you go. Well, unfortunately, Miss Marvine was supposed to be coming in on tonight. We had this really neat conversation about how she had gone to a graduation, and there was like two or three different situations that occurred that kind of put her for a loop, and so she kind of like spun on the situation for a couple minutes, but she was able to catch herself in the process of realizing something that in the past she would have looked at something like that, and it would have taken her a couple weeks to really look at the situation and what was happening or not happening and reflect it back to herself. And she said she was literally able to do that within just a couple minutes this last weekend, which she was very glad about that, and yet very felt very shifted by the whole situation. And Jamie was talking about right before we got on the air about the fact that we're coming up to the summer solstice. And if you're going out on the internet looking a little bit, there's definitely conversations out there that are happening with the solstice from you know, which will be we've got the bright moon, which is actually happening on Saturday night, the 22nd, going into the 23rd, with it's just that this side of the solstice. And from then until Memorial Day, there's just going to be this upsurge of energy and change that's basically going to be really moving and grooving on the planet. So, you know, making sure you're eating properly, make sure you're getting tons of water, you're coming to a place of just really taking some time out in nature every day, you know, a half hour, hour a day, just really, you know, being out there and, you know, being in the gardens, hugging trees, all that kind of good kinds of stuff, and just really doing some gardening and things like that, just to slow yourself down and be in the natural rhythms with the earth is going to be something that's very, very important for everybody. And I'm a firm believer in, you know, not too much TV and getting yourself caught up in the propaganda and stuff that's going on with just the news and things like that, too, because you definitely can get caught up in that. And so I thought we could talk about that a little bit. So what do you think about any of that stuff, Jamie?
Disconnecting style, you mean, and not the well, sure, yeah. There was some study that was just they were doing. They wanted the kids to disconnect like one day a week, like no phone or no internet or computer. But then, you know, if you got to go to school type thing, but or to watch TV or anything like that. I guess just invest your time in something different, but. I think a lot of people had a problem being away from their phone, at least, you know. I can understand a computer, but then the computers, you know, your phone is a computer, so. It's really hard to be someplace where there's no noise whatsoever, even if it's consciously, you know, so. Yeah. I mean.
Well, there. I know. From just
I know. I know. There's. You should probably. It does definitely take up your time sometimes, you know. And if you're just idly, I've seen people just idly cruise on the computer, and they could be doing something constructive.
Yeah. Well, and then the schools even promote that now, where kids aren't carrying books around anymore. They're basically carrying their notebooks, you know, their computer
right.
notebooks. And so when it comes to levels of getting away from being able to turn that off, it's even that much of a, more of a challenge. I do know some families where, you know, some kids don't have phones. They might be able to borrow a parent's phone or something like that. And they kind of do a family share kind of thing with that. But, you know, there are quite a few out there that, you know, it's their lifeline. And if they didn't have a phone, they wouldn't even know how to function. So what do you think about that, Gloria?
The notebooks or the technology?
All of it. You know, all of it.
Well, I understand the need for shifting, so that carrying things around, and there are so many things to carry, and technology is great. I look at both sides of it, and there's a tactile learning experience that goes from turning pages and looking at books and a focus.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, you know, I look at my son's processes and my processes on the computer, and it's a lot of it based on the attention span and the ability to for the brain to be able to utilize all of the different wiring that allows it to skip from process to process more quickly based on the neuron synapses.
You
almost have to have technology as fast as the human brain. And it's, for myself, I find it extremely frustrating if the technology doesn't keep up.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I also enjoy sitting with a book and being able to turn the pages. Even, you know, it's more than just the content. There's a tactile learning that goes along with handling something.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of on the fence. I see the benefits, but I'm also looking at the pitfalls. Just like in Florida, you know, I heard that a lot of the grade schools are doing away with handwriting, and they have gone strictly to computers.
Wow,
so
really?
They're not teaching handwriting skills, and so. What is that going to do to the future generations if they, one, can't write, or two, don't know how to read handwriting?
Oh, my gosh, that's just such a shocking thing to learn. I had no idea that they weren't teaching kids how to write anymore.
And
it
may be a pilot-type program, but I did hear about it. I don't have the actuals in front of me.
Well, there's to me that's, you know, on just a level of connecting to the self, there are so many things that are, you know, that you're able to connect with when you are writing, you know, just whether it's journaling or, you know, there's other theories out there where you would actually write with a non-dominant hand and being able to connect to different parts of your thinking and the way you process and stuff that's different. And not having the ability to do that at all, it just seems like such a controlling thing to have it where somebody wouldn't know how to write. You know.
Well, and, you know, like I was listening to the public radio station, and they had a show where they were talking about the possibility of Mr. Bernanke stepping down and the new head of the, I feel embarrassed, it's not the Federal Reserve, he's the head of the...
It's like an interior kind of thing?
Well, it has to do with economics. And I've forgotten the exact title of his department, but they were talking about how the signature that is on the formal documents that are required for things like printing money, and his signature is on things, and it's one of those ones where it's captured and printed over and over and over again. And they were saying that they have a person who has come in, and the guy's signature was like looking at a spirograph. It just had so many loops and curls, and you couldn't even read it. So he had to alter his signature so that it was legible and that they would be able to look at it and make sure that it was something that they could qualify,
mm-hmm,
you know, because
mm-hmm.
whether or not it was a forgery, they had to be able to look at it. So it's, you look at the different uses of handwriting and in the different areas, and the idea of moving away from that is something that makes me shudder a bit.
Yeah, me too. Me too, because I just, you know, I don't know, there's, and even look at just a level of, it's just so primal. I mean, think about I'm going to go back to carved drawings and things like that. I mean, it's just, there's just, and just art itself. I mean, Jamie, what do you think about that? Not having it where you would be writing. I mean, that's so much of a connection of that being to drawing and connecting on that way, where you've got the hand-eye coordination and expressing that way.
Well, you know, it's just like with, you know, writing itself. They don't really teach it in school anymore. You know, there's no pride in that. So a lot of people, they're so used to tapping out, you know, on their keyboards and such. I always try to take pride in my penmanship, and that's one thing at least I've always thought that talking about signatures and such, you know. I did recall the little story. I think Bernanke was the head of the Federal Reserve.
Gloria.
I recall.
Okay. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, I'm looking from the perspective of, you know, because really your signature in some ways is like an art in the way that, you know, you're using shapes and flow and working with that with, you know, some kind of a medium. And then having it where, you know, that would be something you wouldn't even connect to. Because, I mean, we know that the arts are basically getting cut out of, you know, school just for the sake of they're calling it budget cuts, you know, when it comes to stuff like that. So, you know, things like that are not getting encouraged. And it's almost like something like that, though. It almost goes underground where the kids are still having a level where they want to be expressing that. I know lately I've noticed in my community that a lot of, you know, kids are out there, you know, spray painting and stuff like that and doing, you know, their artwork on the walls and stuff again. There's a lot of tagging going on.
Well,
so maybe
right.
That's kind of
yeah.
an interesting thing going on with that, too, is because it's still a way of just that need to be expressing oneself on whatever level and to having it be unknown on whatever level publicly, to kind of have yourself out there and being known for just a sense of tagging. So it's interesting.
Well, if we can go back just for a minute to the handwriting, when we talk about handwriting, I remember, you know, that you had handwriting classes and that if your handwriting wasn't up to snuff, then, you know, it was an art. It really was an art. And you look at some of the letters and the writing that has been done by people a generation ago.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's just beautiful. And the thing that comes to mind when I think about doing away with handwriting is when I went to Washington, D.C., and we did tours of the different homes and the different residences, and you had letters that were written from Mrs. Adams to Mr. Adams or Ulysses S. Grant when he was on the battlefield, and his wife would send him letters. And these are things that are in the museums, and you can see the beauty of the handwritten form.
Well, and along with that, too, is along with the handwriting was just the languaging. The way language,
right.
I mean, you know, I mean, just look at that now where, you know, college professors are just, it's a constant complaint that, you know, they want to have kids go back to writing a full word instead of texting, you know, using the text language of, you know, LOL or whatever, you know. When they're actually writing papers and things like that, they're not knowing that level of, you know, expressing themselves using verbiage on something like that. It's
well,
always, you know, abbreviations, yeah. Yeah,
and
it's
I can understand, too, because I had heard that they were going to be doing away with script writing, and it was just going to be regular printing. And I was a little disappointed when my son told me about it, and he said, you know, Mom, he said, if they did it so that you could write faster, but it doesn't prove to be faster. And so you get rid of it. So they're accommodating for technology, and it's another evolution within humanity's communications. And it is something that's going to change, and keeping up with it is something that we're just going to have to do. And it's sad to see it go. All we can do is make an effort to encourage our children and future generations to learn these things, even if they're not going to be using them. Otherwise, we'll end up with a society that has another lost art, like you have lost languages from different Native American groups or different indigenous
right.
people.
I did a fundraiser a couple weeks ago for a lady that was going over to France, and they had taken, I think I talked about it on the show a couple weeks ago, but it's a chateau in France that basically has a few acres, like about 5 acres on it. And kids, foster kids in the L.A. area, and this is a couple from L.A., bought the property over in France, and then they're having these kids come over and come to a totally different country, come to a totally different culture on a certain level with France. And then they're invited to look at, hand carving, making furniture out of just basic tools, no power tools. You know, they're using the chisel and just the different hammers and things like that to be making some of this stuff. Well, you've got carving tools and things like that for designs and things like that. And then they're getting back into the gardening of learning to, work in a garden. What's that like? Because all their food is grown from this property. So it's really interesting how there's these extremes of technology and then going back to just this real primal level of being artisans. And the fact that these kids just come back just going, I have such a totally different appreciation for the land and for what people can do and just the level of how I can make a difference. You know, when they've slowed themselves down and really gotten connected to the earth. It's very, very interesting. And yet here we're seeing how education is wanting to challenge us to just be keeping up technology. So it's reminding me of that book, Megatrends. Remember Megatrends? It was back in the late 80s and 90s. And I think they've written several ones of that. I wonder if there's a new version of Megatrends. But Megatrends was all about that, about the more we move into technology, the more we're going to move into the basic cultures, the basic connections of on a human level, where there's going to be this need for this level of balance between the two. Because if not, we're always going to seek for that. Huh?
There's definitely a backlash that's occurring in the marketing world because a lot of the newer messages, the people that are coming into the marketplace that are in their 20s and 30s and are out there doing training are starting to promote the one-on-one connections again.
They're saying make
the phone calls. It's not about who knows on Facebook and your extended. You have to make those personal connections. So it's definitely coming back full circle.
Well, what goes around comes around. And, that's good to hear because definitely that's the whole thing of, making time to just have those relationships. Because ultimately, when it comes to any kind of, whether it be in business or just relation, interactions on a just interpersonal level, it's all about levels of communication and being able to relate with each other on just that one-on-one basis. So that's good to hear. And are they writing when they do that? Is there some handwriting involved during the process? Hopefully they're making notes on napkins. You know how that goes. $1 million napkin ideas.
It would be nice if they would encourage the handwritten thank you card.
Yeah. Who's to say that isn't going to be a part of the process when, if you're going to do a meetup, why wouldn't you, follow that through and just kind of let's be quaint and old-fashioned and actually send something longhand or have it, get to that person, whether it actually goes through the mail or not. It's just a matter of it gets connected to that person.
Right, and that's just a personal note. I'm sure that it's not as efficient, and there are people out there that are hired by other people in different industries to send the handwritten thank yous and the gift baskets, and so that there is something handwritten. So the people in sales recognize how important that personal little touch is. And I looked online as far as your Megatrends book, and they had, the last thing was December 2012, but they also are having Megatrends conferences.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Yeah,
but this
when I
automotive industry here.
Uh huh.
But they do
but
have things on technology
exciting.
And good.
Yeah, well, that's the theme. It's usually technical, but yet it's also I'm trying to think what they call it. It's tech with soft. It's soft as opposed to hard and things like that. So you go from a level
yeah,
of very very mental and technical to very artistic and, you know, moving in that, you know, art and, you know, the art world and coming from that level. So,
well, and they're looking
you know.
At the socioeconomic.
Well, it's just like artisan stuff. Quilting's coming back. Beading's coming back. Macrame is coming back. You know, all those things that I can remember when I was younger, you know, like a young adult, were just such a popular trend, and now they're back again because there's that need to be creative on a personal level that also could, you know, be gifted and things like that for people. And so those things, you know, they kind of come and go. It's nice that quilting is coming back, that's for sure, because that's such an age-old way of
community.
And, you
know, that sounds like fun, and you'd be with a bunch of people doing the same thing and enjoying doing it, you know?
Yeah, and still there's such a level of creativity with that. Yeah, I did a talk one time, and we were talking about the quilts and stuff like that, and just the patterns that people use, the colors that they use, how they put things together. There's so much about them. It's very, very interesting, you know, because when I do flower readings, I'll take the patterns of flowers and colors and things like that, and there's different things that are that symbolically show where people are with the way that they think and do things just by the basic universal symbols that all over the world that we use. And in quilting, there was that as well, which I thought was kind of, it made sense because it's, you know, it's patterns, it's the colors and things like that for expression. But, you know, because I started reading some of these quilts and people were looking at me going, how do you do that? And I'm thinking, well, I know the language. I know what the language means. So it's just like anything else. We get familiar with something like that, and it says so much about people. So and it's just like anything. It's a form of our expressions. So, thank you for sharing that, Gloria, about the handwriting. I hadn't heard anything about that. That's a very interesting thing to see where you know we would be locally, like in California with something like that, if they're having that kind of a thing going on. But hopefully it is a pilot program that will not take off. That's how I'm feeling about it. Because, I mean, you know, did I love pen and penmanship? No, but, you know, do I feel it's necessary? Yeah.
You know, they used to give out awards for penmanship. It was called penmanship.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. You've got your angles and all that other kinds of stuff going on. It's definitely something that would be important with things like that. So.
Well, it is a lost art.
Yeah, it is a lost art. You know, but, I mean, mm-hmm. there's still people out there doing calligraphy and all that stuff. You know, so that's
very far and few between, but I bet you there's people that are interested in it, and maybe they can replicate it on a computer, so who knows?
Well, that's part of it, too, is like, you know, it used to be
right.
In the day you'd find somebody who did calligraphy, so any kind of special events, being weddings or graduations or something like that, they would be creating the invitations you could send out to people, and now you can do it on a computer so easily. It's just easier just to do that and be
right.
efficient and have it get it out in a timely manner.
In the florist industry, you could even offer some sort of handmade, hand-drawn thank you, you know, like instead of a printed one, but then I guess that's convenience of just picking something that's already there versus, you know, having somebody make something. It may not be, I don't know.
Yeah, but that's really true. It's like it goes back to that, you know, do we take the time to slow down and actually create something that can be such a, you know, sentimental gift for a person? Or, you know, do you just, you know, slam something out on the computer and have it be, you know, like a 3D vision, you know, image of a flower as opposed to the actual real thing? So, you know, there's the good and the bad with that kind of a thing. But, you know, you're going to get 350 megahertz of energy when you smell a rose when it's actually in front of you. To be able to look at it and sense it without having it right there in front of you, it's going to be different. You know, do you want to look at an ice cream cone picture or do you want to eat your ice cream cone?
Or like a scratch and sniff picture.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm going to want to eat the cone. It's okay. Well,
it's virtual genetic modification.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Well, like normal, our 30 minutes goes super, super fast, and thank you guys for joining us. And I want to thank our audience. If you have any questions or concerns, please give us a call and go ahead and leave us a message. We thank you all for joining us, and thanks for joining the cafe.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com.